T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Steve, we brought you on here on WBEN to try to get some analysis on what New York State is doing, challenging a judge's ruling over weddings. A local golf club was able to accommodate more than 50 people for a wedding recently. We'll spare the details. People can go into our web story to see some more of the circumstances. But now that New York State is challenging it, do you think they have a reasonable case to be able to continue keeping the size of wedding gatherings low?
The state of New York is now fighting at least two decisions, one from a state Supreme Court justice, Justice Frank Sedita, and one federal court ruling from Honorable Glenn Sotheby, Chief Judge of the Northern District of New York. They're very different cases, but they are grounded in the same thing, that Governor Cuomo and the state of New York and the Attorney General do not have the right to stomp on the New York State and U.S. constitutions. And in the case before Justice Frank Sedita, that was a case where strip clubs were prevented from having exotic dancers, whereas another establishment is not prevented from having a guitar player and a singer. So it was content-based discrimination. So on First Amendment grounds, Judge Sotheby was opined that a religious wedding cannot be curtailed up to a maximum of 50 people, because that stomps on also the First Amendment, freedom of religion, the right to exercise, practice religion. The case that we have with 9 area businesses is based upon the unconstitutionality of the executive orders themselves. So what the governor has done here is, you know, I'm sure he was well-intentioned. Of course he was well-intentioned, but he took it upon himself to legislate from the Capitol chamber, from the executive chamber. And separation of powers is a doctrine that runs like a red thread through the U.S. and New York State constitutions. And people and the various branches of government do not have the authority to delegate those powers to anyone else. The New York State Assembly, the New York State Senate can't say, okay, Governor, we'll let you act with our full authority, so make whatever laws you want. Can't do that. So if you're asking me, does the state of New York have a chance of succeeding on their appeal? Well, the governor's a very powerful politician, so it often depends on the political climate. But I think that any judge who uses the Constitution as their guide is going to say, you know, the governor has run afoul of constitutional tenets that are not negotiable. So I don't think that they should have a chance at succeeding, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, only time will really tell. But, you know, we look at kind of 3 different realms of types of businesses that have just been having an awful time trying to operate during this pandemic. One is the wedding venues that we had just talked about. Another one is the gyms. And then the third one that comes right off in the top of my head is movie theaters. None of those 3 things can be able to operate because they're all essentially waiting on Governor Andrew Cuomo to give them the green light. But do you think that, I mean, if you can just look into a crystal ball, look ahead, is the only way that those places are going to be able to open during a pandemic is in New York State is if they can get a legal suit? Or do you think the governor, I mean, you don't know exactly how he's going to think, but do you think he'll turn around his opinion on making those opens, or will they have to go the legal route only?
There are other categories as well of businesses that are profoundly affected in addition to those you mentioned. Bowling alleys, billiard parlors, and the list goes on of businesses that are right now not even on a phase to open. So if you know, when you hit phase three, phase four, they still are not permitted to open. Businesses that are not permitted to open or that are heavily restricted are going to be required to adhere to whatever laws are properly passed by the New York State legislature and then signed into law by the governor. So far, we don't have those. Right now, we have 57 executive orders that were signed by the governor as if he is a king, as if he's a monarch, and he isn't. We have executive orders that have gone on for months. What the Constitution would permit the governor to do is to, on an emergency basis, assemble the state Senate and state assembly so he could get their guidance and get their authority and get laws passed on an emergency basis. But this governor has chosen not to do that. You know, I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal Democrat. I'm a civil rights lawyer. But I was alarmed when the SAFE Act was passed back in 2013, I think it was, in the manner that it was passed, because the governor did something similar. What he did was, with one day's notice, he got the Senate and the Assembly and everybody to sign off on a law that he himself drafted, although it was under the names of other legislators, but it was done in 24 hours without committee discussion, committee debate, open floor debate, nothing. It was passed as an emergency measure. And I wondered then, I said, you know, whether the legislation is good or bad is not the question here. It's, was it properly enacted? And the answer is it was not. And this governor has now taken the opportunity of a pandemic, of a global pandemic, to see just how far he can take executive powers. And he's taken it beyond all reason. The last time the United States was faced with a constitutional crisis of this magnitude was Korematsu. Korematsu back in the 40s, when Japanese Americans were interred in concentration camps, if you will, because of the fear of Japanese Americans walking around because of what happened, because of the attack on Pearl Harbor. That was a ludicrous, ludicrous exercise of governmental authority. And even more horrifying is that it is still good law today. But that was law that was passed by Congress. So austere acts, austere measures can be taken legitimately through the Senate and the Assembly and then signed off by the governor. So in answer to your question, what are businesses going to be facing in the future? Well, I don't know, but I can tell you that they should not be required to be closed because the governor says so. He can't alter commerce the way he has done.
Gotcha. And Steve, my last question for you that I've got is these businesses that we mentioned, you know, the three that I mentioned, you also added the bowling alleys on that too. I mean, they've lost a lot of money because of these closures. Is there a way that they can recoup the cost by suing the state to get some sort of, reparations, if you will, after, you know, the governor kept them closed for all this time, all these 5 months now?
The lawsuit that I filed is seeking exactly that, and it's now it's in front of Federal Judge John Sinatra.
So it is possible.
Yes.
All right. Cool. Anything else you think our listeners
compensatory damages are possible. Punitive damages are very difficult to get against the government. We're seeking, as you properly put it, compensatory damages for the losses they sustained.
Gotcha. Steve, anything else you'd like our listeners to know about?
Just you said I added bowling alleys. I also added billiard parlors. And as a uh, as an amateur pool player, they're near and dear to my heart. So I don't want you to forget them when you talk about them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.